The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
On the fourth weekend of the month, make that weekday weekend, we're heading toward the weekend, we get to, on Tuesdays, spend an hour with David John Oates and Christian Cadieu and take a look at an infamous crime through the eyes and ears of reverse speech. And David and Christian are back tonight. It is that fourth week on a Tuesday. So we get to hear more, and these programs have been amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we're going to do it again tonight, and let's find out if everyone's there. David, can you hear me all right?
I certainly can, Jeff. How are you this evening?
I'm still here. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, that's an achievement in and of itself.
I thought I kind of gave it away when I... Never mind. All right. Christian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm still here. Fine.
I should expect that. I knew that was coming.
You got a future in this business, Christian. I'm telling you. All right. Now,
oh, thank you.
You're welcome. We have done, what, six programs?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
I think this is the sixth one, yeah.
And they have been really stunning. To hear the criminal mind, let alone Michael Jackson, and his victims in reverse is really, it's revelatory, it's mind-boggling, especially the gangsters. I mean, they all have their own traits and personalities that come through from the subconscious. But I guess the easiest way to sum it up is that most all of them, they're not like us. They're different. They're different people.
Yeah, they certainly are. They think differently, and they're motivated differently. It's quite stunning, the revelations we've got through this. I really enjoyed analyzing the recordings. I mean, getting ready for the shows. It's been quite enjoyable.
You know what's really amazing is that they have such, if they're clever, such an advantage over the rank and file people. The people don't understand that there are monsters walking amongst us. They don't understand it. Not their fault, but my God, the person next to them in the line at the supermarket could be have already killed 50 people. You don't know. You just can't tell people by their appearance, their demeanor. Look at Ted Bundy. I mean, they all have...
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. So what are we going to do tonight, gentlemen?
Well, But tonight we are doing an old childhood hero of mine, or teenage hero of mine, the death of John Lennon.
Right.
Yep.
I remember. Oh, gee, I remember the day he died. Elvis Presley and John Lennon. I know where I was when I heard that they died. And John Lennon was he was just an incredible man. Just
yeah. Well, influence. Yeah. Just the sad thing for me is, and I know all of you understand, I am not a sexist person, but there is chemistry, and when that woman stepped in and rather captivated John Lennon, that was the end of the Beatles. She ended it. They were over. And I'm not saying it's because she was a female, I'm just saying it's because of who she was. And John, being who he was, he just seems to have caved. I don't know how else to phrase it. He let her take charge of too much of his creativity, his life, his direction. Something about her completely enchanted him, I guess. Is that fair? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting that you said that, because here's an individual who, with the other three making up the Fab Four, completely revolutionized the pop music industry in the 60s. They experimented with different themes, with different with different tempos, different beats, different music, and they were fantastic. Here's an individual, John Lennon, who was the backbone, literally the central nervous system of the Beatles, and also he was the one that caused a lot of the controversy that right. gained them some of their the majority of their notoriety. But at the same time, you know that's really interesting how you said that, Jeff, that he allowed an individual to come in and, I don't know, maybe try, you know, cast a spell on him or do something. I don't know.
Something. She ruined it. Let's just tell it straight. She ruined the Beatles. That's my view. Now, some of you may not agree, but that's sort of the general consensus, I think.
Yeah. She was high up on my hate list back in those days.
Yeah, I felt the same way, that she had cheated through her greed, arrogance, and non-talent. She had cheated all of us, the world, out of more joy and happiness and fun with music as it used to be. She did. She took years away from what we might have had, I think. Now, I know a lot of you out there are grumbling and saying, that dirty, rotten Rents. No, I think there's a case to be made for it. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. Doesn't matter to me. It was another human being, a presence, that John Lennon allowed, or maybe he didn't have much of a choice. I don't know. Maybe she just snuck in and took him down. She took over, and that was the end of it. So.
Now you've got me interested in doing rehearsals on Yoko.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. You know, maybe that we should have a part two of this.
Might not be a bad idea. And I'm not saying the woman didn't have her abilities and all that. I was never impressed in the least with anything I saw her do or anything. Nothing. It's like she derailed John Lennon. She ran him off the rails and he crashed. He still produced a few memorable things, but the group, the chemistry between them, just unbelievable. And I think a lot of you understand. Just Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, that album, the White Album. Think of Sgt. Pepper's. That was a monumental achievement.
Revolutionary. It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing like it ever in music. Wow. Yeah.
And Elvis Presley. Where were you when Elvis died? Do you remember, David? You say you did.
Yes, I was driving up to work, actually. I was just about to pull up to the car park at work. Yes.
August
1978.
Yep.
I was, we all know Dick Clark, okay? The legendary Dick Clark. Well, Dick Clark knew everybody. He knew Elvis. He knew everybody. And I was the one who told Dick Clark that Elvis had died.
Oh, really? No way. Really?
Yeah, I was the first person to tell him. It's kind of an odd little thing, but I was the news director and anchorman at the ABC television station in Las Vegas for 3 years, and I heard the UPI machine, five bells, bing, 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 and you didn't get five bells. And I went right up to it. What is it? Elvis Presley has died, da-da-da-da-da. And Dick Clark was in our studios doing some videotaping for a program he was doing, and I thought he should know, and I told him. And
Dick Clark, American Bandstand. You were the one to pass that information on to him that the King had passed.
Yeah. You know what he said?
Wow.
He looked at me, and his eyes went down, and he just kind of shook his head, and he said, "I'm not surprised." Everybody knew he was drugged out badly, and just sad. Sad. Anyhow, that's a little footnote. All right, we've got work to do here, gentlemen. Let's go.
We do. Let's start off. I'm going to start off with a reversal on Lennon's publisher. I think I've got this publisher, so let's just play it.
You don't think you... Oh, my dear boy, you're living in another nether.
Well, you talked to...
You don't think you saved a single life.
Okay, talking, and he says, she says, you'll breathe down pot.
You'll breathe down pot.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
That is funny, isn't it? Pretty typical Lennon.
Yeah.
publisher reversal. Okay, now, I only did a couple of small clips on Lennon that Christian sent me, and I was stunned with the number of reversals. Now, these weren't selected. The number of reversals when Lennon was predicting his death. You'll be amazed. So here's the first one.
I think our society is run by insane people for insane objects, objectives. And I think that's what I sussed when I was 16 and 12, way down the line. But I expressed it differently all through my life. It's the same thing I'm expressing all the time. But now I can put it into that sentence that I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends, you know.
That still applies today, isn't it?
More so than ever.
I have to say something. He right now, and that segment, that forward dialogue, he is referring to an organization that starts with the letter I and ends with the letter I. So I think we all know who we're talking about, but that is who he's referring to.
He knew. Yeah. No, yeah. Just as we are today confronted by the same beast, he knew it then. Same thing. Wow.
Now we've got an interesting reversal. The boy helps killing it. Oops. Here we go.
That always helps killing it.
That's clear.
That always helps killing it.
The boy helps killing it.
It's boys.
Was a boy, eh?
It's boys. Maybe he's talking about the group.
Ah, let's do it again.
That always helps killing it.
Oh, gee whiz.
That always helps killing it.
You're right, it's an S.
That always helps killing it.
Yeah, boys is plural and helps is plural.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got helps. Okay, I didn't hear the S when I found the reversal. Okay. Well, he's referring to the Beatles, okay? It's, I would imagine. Yeah, he's referring to the...
It almost sounded like he ran the S and the K together. It sounded like he said skilling instead of killing it. Skilling it. But that wouldn't make any sense.
No.
Helps skilling it. Helps. He ran it together. Go ahead.
I just close it down. So, okay, so here's the reversal again.
That always helps coming yet. That always helps coming yet.
Oh, you know, it depends on where you put the S. Yeah, that's a hearing.
Right. There's no pause after the S. It goes right into the K. That's all. Yeah. But that's fine. That's fine. That's acceptable. No problem.
Yeah, that's just a little hearing glitch. Huh.
Well, those British accents, you know, David, it's strange.
Not the British who have accents, mate. All right.
Hey, Jeff, did you ever see them in concert?
No, I didn't.
Ah, okay.
But I did see Cream in concert.
Oh.
About
oh my God.
10 feet in front of them. And Eric never Clapton, in my John life, never, yes, never in my life have I seen anything like that. Ever.
Wow.
Three people making that much noise, that much music. Unbelievable. And what a lucky, I was really young. I really got lucky. I don't know how it happened. But yeah, Cream. Jack Bruce.
I remember seeing the Beach Boys in concert when I was a teenager. They came to Adelaide.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, here's another one on Lennon.
They concentrate their ammunition there. We know where it comes from, and we get on with the job of selling and or doing whatever we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe that. You leave the door open, man, and that's where the door they'll come in, you know.
And this one says, I feel the gunner.
Wow.
Okay, all right. Now, see, that one I see is a straight premonition. You know,
any idea how long that was said before he was shot?
Ask Christian.
No, I don't.
Doesn't matter. No time barriers here. So open.
All right, next one.
As a Beatle, we made it, and there was nothing to do. We had money. We had fame.
This one says, they damn you.
Wow,
I guess he felt ostracized from the Beatles in the end, didn't they? I mean, you know, they broke up.
I think he was making maybe, and a part of it, just a generic statement about fame and fortune. A lot of people are jealous, envious, and they'll tend to damn people. Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so here he's talking about damned again.
We think we have the right to have a say in the future. And we think the future is made in your mind. It says it, you know, war is over if you want it.
Bring the damned to speak with this humor.
Bring the emperor's speak with this humor.
Bring the emperor's speak with this humor.
I'll be bothered.
Bring the emperor's speak with this humor.
I think he's talking about people who need to hear his message, okay? And he's,
What's he say again? What do you have?
I'm sorry. Bring the damned to speak with this humor. I'll do it again. Bring the damned to speak with this humor.
Bring the emperor's speak with this humor.
Did you hear it?
Bring the emperor's speak with this humor.
Yeah, I hear it. Yeah, it's a...
It could be his humor rather than this humor.
What's it mean? What's he saying?
Oh, well, I think, you know, his message. He wants to speak to the lost in the world, and he does it through humor and music and, you know, in a light-hearted way. He's, I think that's his message and how he wants to get it out. Okay?
Gotcha.
Now, this is a creepy one.
The only reason, if I'm going to get on the front page, I might as well get on the front page with the word peace.
But you've made yourself ridiculous.
And here he says, my death was promoted.
My death was promoted.
Now that's pretty damn spooky.
Yeah, there it is. When he talks about getting on the front page.
What he's saying is interesting. My death was promoted. In other words, it was a conspiracy. I think his subconscious is saying this is a conspiratorial effort. It wasn't just another lone gunman. And everybody who studied the thing comes away with the same conclusion. This was a setup. The guy was MK Ultra or whatever the comparable mind control used on him was. Hinckley. What was his name? John David Hinckley?
No, that was Reagan. Chapman.
Mark David Chapman.
Hinckley was
Mark Chapman. It was David Chapman. Okay. Mark Chapman, was he... Now, Hinckley was a friend of the Bush family, right? And Chapman, there was some
Hinckley,
Chapman link there somewhere.
He was a spoiled brat. He was a very young kid. Chapman was a... Man, he wasn't lucid by any stretch of the imagination. He definitely had. He definitely has a lot of problems. He attempted suicide through carbon monoxide asphyxiation. Excuse me. And he had many, many problems. But I will say that the one thing that may perhaps substantiate what Jeff has said is that his father was in the Navy.
There you go.
In the U.S. military.
The Navy's involved with everything. Don't forget it. Not just
Naval
the...
Naval intelligence is the, you know...
ONI.
Nothing on Naval intelligence. Naval intelligence is everything.
ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence, and you don't hear about it, but they're involved with space, deep space, much more so than the Air Force ever will be. That's interesting.
Really? Deep
space? Oh, yeah. The Navy launched or was involved with the Clementine Project, which was a satellite that went around the backside of the moon and mapped the backside of the moon. In fact, it mapped the whole moon. It was the U.S. Navy. And look at Star Trek. What's the name of the ship? The USS Enterprise, right? Navy. It's all Navy.
Huh. Well, if I have an interesting reversal on Chapman, talk about space, let me start off with this one. He's not Chapman.
And we have a great man.
Oh, okay. So this is from an interview in 1992, being interviewed on Larry King Live.
And we have a great marriage, as much as, you know, can be had from here, from Attica. But I'm not the same person in the major sense, because back then I was lost.
Okay, this is a weird reversal. NASA damning, and you serve mess.
Mess for him, and then serve mess.
Mess for him, and then serve mess. Mess for him, and then serve mess.
So NASA, what's NASA? Satellites?
NASA's involved with a lot of things that you'd never hear about. I don't know. When was that interview, and what was the circumstance of it again? That was Chapman.
Chapman, 1992.
I'm Larry King Live.
And that's the first reversal I found. And I go, what the diggers is that all about?
I mean, so that's 15 years or so after the murder. Something like
correct.
That.
12 years. 1980, 12.
Yeah.
12. So I don't know. I mean, is that mind control? NASA damning? You serve mess? I don't know.
Right, remember, mind control subjects don't usually have ready access to the fact that they have been programmed. So
that's true.
It might be just a little leak through there. Interesting. Do we need to take a break, David, or what? What's your schedule?
We can take a break.
Okay. All right. Hold on, and we'll come right back with Christian and David as we continue after this. Okay, welcome back. David Oates and Christian Cadieux are here, and we're talking about reverse speech as it applies to interviews with John Lennon and others around him. Very interesting, as always, so far. Go ahead. Can you replay that one about how he sees the gunner, or something about the gunner?
Yes. Where is it? Here we go. Right, so here's the forwards.
They concentrate their ammunition there. We know where it comes from, and we get on with the job of selling or doing whatever we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe that. You leave the door open, man, and that's where the door they'll come in, you know.
And feel the gunner.
I feel the gunner.
I feel the gunner.
I feel the gunner. I feel the gunner.
And that is awfully eerie. Yeah.
It's certainly there. And one of several reversals I've played on your shows over the years where we see premonitions into the future. We've got the classic one on JFK, of course. Head is hidden in the car. Inaugural address. It's really quite amazing. All right, here's Chapman.
Well, if you want to pick it up from the night, I was standing there with a gun in my pocket.
Knew you were going to shoot him?
And here he says, I'm a faggot. I know we fall.
I'm a faggot than all we thought.
I'm a faggot than all we thought.
Yeah.
I'm a faggot than all we thought.
I'm sure a lot of people in the world, millions of people, would have thought he was a faggot. I'd say that's a bit of an understatement, really.
Yeah. He was denied parole again last year. His 10th time,
So they should never let them.
You know, someone's gonna pop him. If he gets out, someone will knock him off 100%.
Oh yeah.
I'd put up a lot of money on that someone's gonna get him.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one's got him in there, but
They've got him on the Larry King interview. They've got him in a specific I don't know. Not isolation. Protection. Thank you. And he talks about it. And Larry King asks him, I mean, have you ever been, has anyone tried to rape you? Has anyone tried to kill you? He said, nope. He says, I got some great cellmates. He has his own cell in the protective area where he is. He gets along with everybody there. Now, again, that was 1992. Now, I don't know.
Huh. All right. Okay.
All right. I'm skipping over a few here. So these are quite, actually, I will play them. These are rather bizarre. Here we go.
It was a rough thing.
What, had you shot that weapon before?
That weapon, no. I didn't even know if the bullets were going to work.
Okay, this is a metaphor. Go with my wolf sword.
Girl with no looks, the wolf.
Girl with no looks, the wolf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just motivated and driven to do it. You know, he went there with the intention of doing it. There we go. Here's another bit of a weird one.
Were you relieved?
No. What happened before the shooting, before I pulled the trigger and after, were two different scenes in my mind.
He says, do we plan our guest? The more powerful.
The more planner, you're the more powerful.
The more planner, you're the more powerful.
Well, certainly there.
The more planner, you're the more powerful.
Okay, now that may hint at some mind control that you're talking about. Who is the more powerful? Okay, what's been planned?
Well, the key word is planned, yeah. So how far do you take it? I don't know. But it's there.
It is there.
Well, look, Larry King asked them flat out, there's a lot of talk amongst the conspiracy groups that you were a part of an agenda, you were part of a mind control. What are your thoughts on that? And he said, that's rubbish. No way. Now, whether it was or it wasn't, I don't think he would admit it, but
never,
you know. Exactly.
No, they'd put up a firewall in his mind. He's not allowed to go there. He wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, well, he would know if he was.
Correct, Matt. Correct.
Oh, here's another weird one.
A few minutes after that, there was just a blood-curdling scream from someone, and it put the hair on the back of my neck straight up.
It says, they've a fast enemy.
They've a fast enemy?
Oh, sorry, they've a fast enemy. Sorry.
Neither fast enemies.
What's he talking about?
See, I don't know. See, there we go. More powerful, an enemy. I mean, both of those are referencing. You know, Christian asked me, did I think that he was mind controlled? And to be frank, I said, no, I think he was just an idiot. But I think that's what I told him. But now I'm playing these reversals, I'm not too sure.
These are way out there. They're not really anchored to any kind of a continuum that I can grasp. They're just random. They're rogue.
Well, that's why I told Christian I think he's just an idiot.
That's right.
The reversal is just bizarre. Like, here's another bizarre one.
I had somebody take it away. And I was stunned. I didn't know what to do. I took the catch in the rye out of my pocket.
And here it says, how weird, there's no one, did I not? See, what the hell?
It sounds like something's scrambled in there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, this guy is weird. To quote his own reversals, he's weird.
Yeah.
So that's why I said to Chris, he's just an idiot. Here we go.
I pray, and I walk with him. He forgives me.
I can't handle that. I can't stand when I hear that.
What I did.
Yeah, you ought to hear the reversal.
12 years ago, he didn't like all the pain I caused everybody, and especially John's widow.
Guy's a piece of crap. He's really a piece of garbage, this guy.
All these
years, it has brought me out of the abyss, not medications or counseling. I've basically had to counsel myself.
Yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And this one says, see me lying.
See me lying.
See me lying.
Okay.
That's... CB lying or
lying, LYING.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yes. No. Yeah. I got that. But I thought you said it was like B line, like I'm going to make a B line for it, you know?
Oh, no, but, lying, LYING. I'll play it again. Yeah, he's lying. He's lying.
No, yeah. I get that.
CB lying.
So he's referring to himself as the letter B. C, B, yeah. Lying. So his subconscious is saying, look at him lie.
Yeah, and here he is again talking about Jesus loves me.
Well, in a way, it's got to be a crutch, because we all need a crutch. Life is not easy, and life for me isn't easy. And therefore, I think the Lord has a tender spot in his heart for prisoners.
Take him outside, get rid of him. Just done.
I can't stand when I hear that. It's, you know, they commit a heinous crime and then all of a sudden they find religion. Oh, come on, man. You know, this is why parole boards need reverse speech. Seriously. This is why parole boards need reverse speech.
Yep. Well, you won't hear the reversal. Reversal says the farce in it.
So the farce in it, he's talking about his religiosity, his Christianity, his finding of the truth. Okay,
his through
the
stupidity. Bible.
There you go.
He's lying, and it's a farce. It doesn't. It's all bullshit.
Yeah. So, oh yeah.
I know. All right, so here we have the next one. I'm going to play them all. I was going to skip the weird ones, but I think the weird ones are just as important as the normal ones. So.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, this guy is not anchored in reality, I tell you. He's
No, they fractured him.
He's a space cadet.
That's how they do it.
Yep, all right, so here's the next one.
Because without that, I probably wouldn't be alive today because I was very suicidal. And I certainly wouldn't be in a well state of mind, not without him.
Did you have, prior to the conversion to the Lord, remorse?
Here he says, their soul in it and evil. All right, that's the second reference we've got today. We've got they have a fast enemy, their soul in it, and evil. What else do we have today? That's it, yeah. And the enemy. Huh, interesting. Look, he is referring to other people.
Oh, there's no question about that. He doesn't sound solo at all. Not to me.
Yeah.
There are references.
Yeah, you're right. right. They're
people
they
in
are.
The shadows, whatever. They're there.
Yeah, there are in here. Yeah, okay. Doesn't mean he's not a space cadet.
think of what major entertainment or political figure who has been assassinated like that. Do we have a case where the shooter has really gotten away with acting like a lone gunman? I mean, really, from the scrutiny of people who understand these things. They all seemingly have things in their past, like the New Zealand shooter. What's he doing in North Korea and Pakistan and all that? It's all strange.
Yeah. All right, here's the next one.
If you were God, you wouldn't want a bunch of robots running around. He gives us free will. We're free agents. We can do what we want.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Specifically,
I can't. It's one of the throw up when I hear that.
This preacher's on TV, but...
Oh, it's sickening. It's just sickening. You ought to shoot the guy.
Yeah. Take him in the back room and slap him around.
I don't think that'll make any difference, quite frankly. And there he said, we've owed abuse.
Oh, we owe it, Nicholson.
I'm not hearing that. First word is I.
Oh, I.
For openers.
Okay.
He's I. The subconscious usually doesn't talk in first person.
Not usually.
Oh, we owe it, Nicholson.
Anyway.
That's a sketchy one.
Yep, all right. I'm happy to throw it out. Yep. As you know, I don't claim to be 100% accurate.
No, 98 is damn good.
Oh, dear. Okay, so here we have... This is an insight into his personality, this reversal.
I'm eating well, as you can see. I am treated once the officers get to know me. They see I'm just like everybody else. If that can be imagined.
Oh. It says, Sly, you love your big acid. I'll play it and tell you what it means. Sly, you love your big acid.
Sly, you love your big acid.
Sly, you love your big acid. Sly, you love your big acid.
Okay, metaphor. Sly, he's being sly and devious. He loves spewing this rubbish. He loves causing pain and anguish. And he's a sly, conniving person causing harm, and he enjoys it.
Well, he obviously likes the celebrity of it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But Christian, what a particularly despicable being, whatever he is.
Yep. He's been profiled. There's been Let Me Take You Down's a book, and it's all about an individual who spent a substantial the author spent a tremendous amount of time with Chapman. Mm-hmm. And when he, at the end of this, the Larry King interview, he was, I guess Larry King was speaking to him after he finished with Mark David Chapman. He said, "What's your take?" And this author said, just, plain and simple, he said, he is not well and he is extremely deceptive and he's conniving. He's like
sly.
A fox.
Love your
sly. You know, this guy is, he will manipulate. Apparently, he pulled a very, very similar stunt that Anthony Hopkins' character played in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, really?
There was somebody in the cell beside him, or two cells further down, and Mark David Chapman mentally broke him down and caused him to, I don't know, to attempt suicide or to do something to hurt himself. Similar to Dr. Hannibal Lecter, the character in Silence of the Lambs, did to an a fellow inmate in the in that movie with Jodie Foster, etc. So he's a POS. He's just, man, the guy's an opportunist. He wanted his 15 minutes of fame. He wanted his notoriety. His 15 minutes of fame led to life with no probably chance of parole ever. But, you know, that's what he wanted. He's what I call an attention seeker. Normally, I would say an attention seeking serial killer, but he only killed one person, all that we're aware of. But at the end of the day, he's, you know, whatever the agenda was, he's enjoying the notoriety that comes with killing one of the most influential individuals. Right. To the music industry.
Yeah. Not just the music industry, but political. Influence.
Political, sure. He was an artist. He was
cultural, political. Yeah. What a vile, venal, phony though with this Jesus stuff. Not even close to being convincing about any of it.
Well, the reverse said it all. See, be lying, and the farce in it. You know,
it's interesting. I once heard somebody say, Jeff, and I thought this was very interesting. It was, I can't remember. It was the individual, Dave. He wrote something about, it was all about Laurel Canyon. And
oh, yeah, David. He was on, I had him on the program here. He's passed away.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah. But, he was really good.
That book, I can't remember the name of the book.
Something about Laurel Canyon.
Yeah, but to all your listeners, you really have to. Well, of course, you have to read David's books as well. But this is a really cool read, and I say this because he said something interesting. He said the '60s ended with the Manson murders in 1969. In 1969. August 6th, I believe, 5th, with the Manson murders, that was the end of the 60s. And the whole Laurel Canyon thing, I mean, it makes you think that the 60s came to an end, of course, this is his opinion, in 1969 with the Manson murders. Now bump it up another 11 years. As we just said, one of the greatest artists and political activists, I would say that something came to an end the day that John Lennon died. And it was a huge loss, just like, when the 60s came to end in 69. And, he made some very interesting points. Dave McGrath, I think?
Dave McGowan.
McGowan, that's it. Dave McGowan, thank you.
The book was called The Laurel Canyon Conspiracy.
Yeah. And it's what I found amazing on that book was that how he said and it makes so much sense. Every single person from Jim Morrison to Janis Joplin to Stephen Stills, every single person that was big in the 60s, their parents were in the military. Why is it Jim Morrison? Why is it that Stephen Stills, why is it that all these individuals, why did they not get called to Vietnam?
Oh, easy answer. They got a pass.
Why,
yeah, of course.
Exactly,
why not? Why not?
Is it that Jim Morrison's father, who was the captain in the American military, it was his ship. That produced the allegation in the Gulf of Tonkin.
Well,
it was Jim Morrison's father.
They're all tied in to the same web, that's for sure. Yeah, Dave McGowan's book is outstanding, and I would urge anyone who wants a great book, The Laurel Canyon Conspiracy. He was a terrific guest. He's on several times, and wow, he knew it. He had done it. He knew too much. Some strange, I think he died of cancer, and those things are always suspicious to me. Younger man.
He said something also very interesting, that the whole, before the stereotypical hippie, before the long hair and the lack of personal hygiene and whatnot, the actual political activists against the Vietnam War were clean-cut university students. And the and Dave McGowan's theory was that together in cooperation, the American government tried to undermine the political activists by coming out with the hippie movement. So the whole hippie look of being all, you know, smoking dope, doing LSD, long hair, unkempt, all of that was to undermine the agenda of the political activists. So you're not going to clearly take a political activist seriously, back in the 60s, of course, who dressed and looked like a traditional hippie. But you will take a political activist who is a university student or graduate that is clean cut. And Dave McGowan said that, and I thought that was, I said, oh my God, that makes so much sense. That wow.
True. Anything, David, another quickie? You want to run in here?
Just a really strange one again here. We'll finish with this one.
You disintegrate again. You become nothing. So if you have nothing to start with, and your life consists of fantasizing about celebrities or being with them, that can become very dangerous. And that
this one says, they do need pussy.
I do need pussy.
No, I do need.
He says I.
Tells you where his mind's at. He's just an idiot, frankly.
You know how long his hit list was? David, you know how long his hit list was? He had Ronald Reagan on his hit list. He had, he had a bunch of people. There, Frank Sinatra. He had a whole bunch of people that he wanted
Hinckley,
to.
Hinckley and he overlapped on Reagan. Interesting.
Yeah. That
at least in targeting. Yeah.
He had a big hit list.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen. That was another fascinating look into the dark side, and it's always the same. What's coming up? Any teasers?
I have no idea. Christian's handling all of this. What's that coming up, Christian?
Listen, I managed to track down some recordings of witnesses that gave a statement that heard all of the assassin of Abraham Lincoln, and yeah, I didn't want to say it. I wanted to surprise you with it, but
It's a surprise. It's a surprise. Don't worry about it. Okay. It's a surprise. This is going to be a big one. All right, good. Yeah, we look forward to that.
But I'm going to tell you. Yeah, but also, Jeff, I really want to do a Saville. But I mean, we won't have enough time. There's so much out there on the guy that it would probably have to be a 2-hour show.
Well, this we could do it. We could do it in parts if it's that good. Sure, don't worry about it.
Sure. I mean, this guy is the Prince of Darkness. There is
We'll try and maybe we can block out 2 hours next time for you.
Sure. Yeah. Well. Got some cool stuff. We got We got the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and we also have Jimmy Savile. So.
Savile is if you've got a lot on Savile, and there must be a ton of recordings about that guy. What a satanic Luciferian piece of excrement that guy was! Just unbelievable, the diabolical nature of him.
And his best friend, Jeff, his best friend was Prince Charles.
I heard that. Yeah, I know. All right, okay, guys.
Diana hated him. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll see. Look forward to the next one. All right, good night.
All right. Cheers. Bye bye.
Okay, and back with more after this.